May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Few years ago, I was on a retreat for a week at the College of Preachers, located next to the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. I don't think it is there anymore, that college. The college had a very simple chapel in its basement. That's where we used to gather during the retreat for reflection, for meditation and all that. While I was there at the retreat, every day I went to this chapel for meditation. The cross hung from the ceiling over the altar captivated my attention because this cross had something in the middle, you know, between the vertical and the horizontal planks meet. There was something there. It was very distinct. So I had to pay closer attention to that. And you could see two figures, two human beings, one an older person, a man, and the other one a young woman, kind of running towards him and then kind of in an embrace, and the man standing firm on both his feet, and the young woman had one foot up and the other one on her tippy toe. The sculpture, it wasn't there before, but the sculpture then, he had a fallout with his daughter. For a long time they were not talking, and she kind of ran away from him. And then she came back one day, came back to him, and they were back in relationship. So to celebrate that, to remember that, to honor that, he dedicated this, he made this sculpture and put it, and they put it on the right in the middle of that cross. And every day as I was looking at that cross and that this sculpture in the middle of it, something really drew me to that, and it made me, you know, sob, because especially after I read about the fallout the father and the daughter had, and then the reconciliation they had, I felt I was that person who came back to the father, because I was for a long time running away from the church, and then running away from the church in the sense that I didn't want to get into the vocational ministry as a priest. And so this was the time that, you know, part of my going to this retreat was the reason that, you know, my coming back to take my calling as a priest. And so this was really meaningful to me. It's like, you know, it is me coming back to God, you know, and then I was praying to God to forgive me for my running away from the call. So it was kind of a reconciliation for me, coming back to an awaiting God and be in that ministry. The reading from Isaiah today envisions a future when enemies become friends, opponents become allies and strangers become neighbors. In Paul's letter to the Romans, we read about his hope for an inclusion of the Gentiles in the vision of harmonies of life achieved in Jesus Christ. And the gospel lesson gives a prescription for the realization of this vision of peace and harmony and reconciliation. And the prescription is repentance, turn around, metanoia. The Advent vision of peace is realized only when there is a change of heart. And that is what this Advent is all about. Change of heart and change of attitude. And that brings you back to the place where you meet face to face with God. In Celtic spirituality, there is this notion of a liminal space, a space that is so thin between the visible and the invisible world. You know, that is so thin that it is when you experience that kind of a moment in your life, you feel like you are communicating with the invisible. Instances like that, you know, you read in the Bible, like Moses, when he saw God in the burning bush, and you know, Moses had this mountaintop experience, and you know, so these were moments, and you know, sometimes these moments happen in our lives too. Sometimes when we are least expected. In prophets and saints, sages of all ages had these kind of experiences, which today we call them as it's a mountaintop experience or a burning bush experience. Sometimes it is at the crucial junctures of our life that we experience this kind of liminal space when we kind of very, you know, we are able to communicate, to receive message from God. Looking back, I believe that my experience at the chapel was one of those experiences of my coming back to God. When tears started rolling down my cheek, I felt that, yes, I sensed a calmness within myself. I felt like, you know, I'm home now. You know, no need to run away from God anymore, and you know, you are home, you are safe, you are secure. That kind of experience, that's what I felt. I had to forgive myself. I had to forgive myself for running away from my vocational calling into priesthood. Especially, you know, much earlier than I should have done. I was trained, or you know, seminary trained by in 1977. By the time I was finally got into a priesthood was 2000. So for that long I was running away from it. So I had to really forgive myself for doing that. I believe that what prevents us from having more experiences, liminal experiences like the one that I have in our mundane day-to-day world, is our closed hearts. We may come very close to having an experience or an encounter with God, like the Pharisees and Sadducees and the people who came to John the Baptist in the wilderness, and he lashed out at them. He knew that they were not fully there. They were there, you know, just for the namesake. So there is no hiding. There is no hiding from God. God knows where we are, despite all our bravado and all our claims to be tough and invincible. He sees us and as we are, naked before God. So you know, you cannot dance around the foot of the cross, you know, especially when Jesus is dying on that cross, and there is no dancing around the foot of the cross. The vertical plank of the cross symbolizes our relationship with God, and the horizontal plank symbolizes our relationship with fellow human beings, and it is a reconciliation of the relationship between God and the relationship between human beings that is depicted or that is seen on the cross. When Jesus died on that, in the middle of that cross, means, you know, the whole humanity he embraced with his both hands into that embrace and into relationship with God. You know, the first question God ever asked to human beings, have you ever thought of that? First question was, when God came down to the garden of Eden, God asked what? Where are you? Not because God didn't know where they were hiding, you know, the one who created the whole thing and they were hiding it. God knew exactly where they were, but God did ask them, where are you? Where the basic meaning of that is, where are you? Not physically, where are you, but where are you in your relationship with me? That is what, you know, is being asked. And the second question God asked was to Cain, where is your brother? Where is your brother? Not that God didn't know that Cain already had killed his brother Abel. God knew, but still asked, basically asking, where are you in your relationship with your brothers and sisters? So these two questions, from the very beginning of creation, where are you in your relationship with God, the vertical relationship with God, and where are you in your relationship with fellow human beings, that is the horizontal plank. And these two really make the cross, and it is on that cross Jesus died for us. And these two questions is posed before us too at this season of Advent. Where are we in our relationship to God, and where are we in our relationship to fellow human beings? Think of God as loving, caring, and merciful, not as a vengeful, judgmental, and seeking retribution. He hangs on that cross, right in the center of that cross, between the vertical and the horizontal planks, waiting for us to come home, come to him, so that we can be in his embrace. He wants us to be fully alive. Is there something in our lives that we need to deal with? Someone we need to forgive? Or is there someone from whom we need to get forgiveness? Is there a habit or addiction that we want to kick out from our life? These are things that are important for us this Advent, to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ into our lives. In John the Baptist, we have a prophet who tells the way it is. There is no mincing of words with John the Baptist, as we heard in our gospel reading. He is not politically correct, right? He tells the way it is. He calls Herod the Great the sly fox. And he told him that you stole your brother's wife. He just told straight, without any hesitation, he did that, and he knew the consequences of doing what he did. He's not concerned about his own life or the consequences, but he wanted to tell the truth. He was free to tell the truth. Today, the world needs a prophet like John, who wouldn't hold back telling truth to powers, who wouldn't be afraid calling Herod a fox or a bully. We need today, especially today, a figure like John the Baptist, who would stand in the wilderness of our own lives, and speak and prophesy God's truth from the midst of the wilderness that we are in, and speak to that wilderness. Perhaps God may be calling you and me, having been forgiven of our sins. Maybe we are called to be like John in speaking the truth to the powers.